Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
Just got done with my schoolwork.
Did you have to write about what freedom means to you?
Yes, actually, I did.
Oh, cool.
What a guess.
Did Bitch and Speedboats factor in somehow?
No, Kick-Ass Jet Boats.
Mm. It's a subtle distinction, but one that people with class will know.
I didn't go to boat school for nothing.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Boat school. Training to be a yeoman. Always a yeoman, never a helmsman. Captain?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. There you go. That's your first test. Chrissy got an A. It wasn't quite an A plus. But you know, you're almost there.
Oh no.
Yeah. How am I sounding to you? Is my internet quality coming through okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, you sound good to me as well.
5x5.
5x5, that is maximum quality and power.
What about efficiency?
I think that has to do with the torque.
Yeah.
Some kind of differential.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Ratios, cars, I think, are involved. Yeah. You know, it's all about the energy that you put into a system versus what you get out. Chris, I am right at the edge of what I can continue bullshitting about with this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Hey, do you want some free tickets to the Antique Boat Show?
Oh, I mean, is that like a thing you get a student discount on from boat school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is killing me.
What is?
All these ads that are in the tabs that I have open.
No, it's terrible, right?
Yeah, I thought you were making chicken and rabbit sounds because there was a Cadbury egg commercial.
Hey, Chris, can you tell me what a rabbit sound is? Can you just make a rabbit sound? Okay, so it's the sound of a dog that's looking for something.
I guess.
Yeah. Oddly enough, looking for a rabbit. Yeah, no, that's it's unacceptable. I think that over the course of the time we've done this show, it's gotten a lot harder to do pre-production or have websites open, just because every single, if it's not a video that should be an article, you know, it's like, oh, we just took something from our television broadcast and put it up here wholesale without any kind of, you know, copy editing or whatever. There will be some kind of site takeover ad that will play dubstep over on rollover, on mouseover.
It's just really hard.
It's not,
you know?
Funny. It's not funny, but it's like it's a little bit of a slice of life.
It's hard to be internet guy.
It's a peek behind the curtain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I can think of is the Iron Sheik, but it's a steel curtain.
have you ever followed the is that the wrestler guy, the Iron Sheik?
I think so.
Yeah, he's funny on Twitter because he's lost his mind. You know,
he still alive?
I believe so. So it was him. Basically, anybody who had tenure making a living having their head slammed against a turnstile.
Turnbuckle.
Oh, yes. A turnbuckle. Chris, I'm talking about, you know, the classic subway heavies. Yes, the turnbuckle. There we go. Ended up on Twitter saying crazy racist stuff. Like the Ultimate Warrior, before he passed away, he was a real treat. He was a tweet treat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought all the Iron Sheik did these days was model vintage bathing suits.
Yeah. This one really compliments the body hair. No, I thought you were going a different direction. Like he would just stand on top of posts acting as a hurricane siren.
Is that what he did?
I think that was his noise, Chris. I have no.
Was he Iranian?
I think that was the thing. I think that they cast him as a heel because of the anti-Arabic, anti-Iranian thing, and so that like he was a professional villain. Again, I'm nearing the end of my ability to make up conversation about this.
Cole, come on. There's lots of stuff to go off on here. Like, why didn't they ever make Iran-Contra?
I mean, that was a thing. Oh, you mean so Contra 3, they went with aliens. They kind of leaned into that with Super C, but really right. They should have done Iran Contra, which was just a kind of a rip from the headlines affair.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's Call of Duty, type franchise only on Nintendo.
Yeah, come on, Konami. What are you doing, Konami?
Konami.
Then that's the company that made Contra.
It's a gecko that looks like Conan.
This tall,
red-headed gecko.
Yeah, tall, red-headed gecko.
Tall gecko.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, this is episode number 166 of Those Damn Ross Kids.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't want to bank on you actually knowing.
I never know.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Well, your website's not up to date, so, and it doesn't have episode numbers.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't, and I ditched iTunes.
Yeah. Oh, well. But what's your name?
My name is Chris.
My name is Cole, and you best not, criticize my web skills. And also, we're here to entertain your asses.
No, it's just your diligence. It's not your skills.
Yeah. I gotcha. I'm working on a fix for that. I'm rolling out changes across the website, but it takes time, Chris. It takes a lot of time to do stuff like that. Yeah. So, I want to talk to you about something that I kind of like run into on a regular basis. And I want to know if your experience matches mine at all. Do you work here syndrome?
No.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. It's something that I've noticed in my experience, just since forever, like even going back to like high school and college.
Oh, like you look like you work someplace that people ask you?
Yeah. But like, okay. it's devoid of context. So if somebody's, if I'm walking around at a Best Buy, I can figure somebody would okay, fine, whatever. But like I was at the grocery store here, the Meijer, and somebody came up and asked me, and I wasn't even wearing red. I was not in team member garb. But they were like, "I'm sorry, do you work here? I'm looking for blah." I'm like, "I'm so sorry, I don't know."
Well, I think that it's people that lord over things.
would you categorize what I do as lord?
I think so, because I've seen you stand in front of like a freezer door, like in a store. And it doesn't look like you're choosing what you want. It looks like you're choosing what order things should be in.
Well, Chris, I'm an optimizer. I look at a freezer case and I think, why are those up there? Like, I understand that there's, marketing bucks in play for optimum placement and putting stuff that kids want down towards the bottom. But you're right. I also jostle my mic stand. So I'm sorry about that, listeners. I'm like, so what's happening when I'm looking at a freezer door, when I'm looking at a freezer section is I'm identifying where everything is before I open the door so I can get the maximum efficiency out of that move.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, it makes you look like you have control over something.
Yeah. And that comforts people. I think it causes people to gravitate toward me. I think that, I think it's a part of my magnetism and my charm, is that, the one thing you could say about me is that I put people at ease.
Huh. So you're telling me that people will waste time and exhaust all other options before asking you a question.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're so uppity and aloof that you won't say, "Can I help you with something?"
You'll just approach them. I'm just trying to bring a little bit of order into your day. Is there something you need, ma'am?
I don't have anything going on this afternoon. Thought I'd do a little customer service.
It's the same approach we should take to advertisement. If we just start doing ad spots for people, eventually they're gonna have to pay us,
right?
Yeah. No, it's random acts of corporate kindness, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you're going out there, you're saying like, "I'm gonna start up a little store within this store."
Yeah. You should just like stop at somebody's table at McDonald's and write the N-word on their coffee cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, let's race to the bottom, guys.
Yeah. Isn't that what Starbucks is doing?
Yeah. Well, they stopped that because, they didn't say why. They just said, okay, we're stopping it. But, there was no acknowledgement that it was the dumbest possible idea that they could have done.
Writing racial slurs on coffee cups?
I don't know about racial slurs, but I think that asking putting their baristas and customers into a corporately enforced situation to have the most awkward conversation possible. I mean, outside of just starting by saying, "Welcome to Starbucks, I know what you did."
Well, don't baristas like loathe the customers?
You know, I've never known a barista.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever known somebody who, like, I knew they worked. I'm sure I've interacted with one before when they were not behind a counter. But loathing baristas, I think that that's just a brush that you paint across all customer service. And that's why my, you know, vigilante customer service skills are so in demand, even though people don't know it.
Hmm. Yeah, if you want to meet a barista, check out Miss Connections.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that a lot of there's a lot of demand for baristas, but not a lot of supply.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is that, you know, there's people that don't even feel comfortable asking a barista out on a date. And now they want to discuss like race.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that eventually if you ask enough people, somebody's going to have a very strong opinion about it. So it's going to start a conversation.
Yeah, it's any dialogue is good dialogue,
I guess. Yeah. Especially if it ends with a stirrer stick in somebody's tear duct.
That's how Friends ran so long.
people just liked that there was like colors and sounds.
Hey, they were just talking.
Yeah, I've seen you watching some Friends on my Netflix.
That's Emma.
That is? Okay, cool.
That's the child.
That makes sense. That makes sense that a 9-year-old would watch Friends.
Cool. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She identifies with Phoebe.
That Chandler is so funny.
such a dry, sarcastic wit. Especially...
Closeted.
Especially around like season 9 when the alcohol puffiness was really kicking in and you could tell.
No, those are the pills, buddy.
Oh, the pills. Yeah. Yeah. It had progressed beyond that point. Yeah.
Puffy pill.
Pill puffy. Pill puffy MD.
Right.
Yeah. That's Yeah. And then I did something crazy. I went to Target on Thursday to buy something from the electronics section. And it turns out that Target is a store the size of an airplane hangar that has 3 people working in it.
Well, because they're all making $9 an hour now. So there's so they only have 25% of them that would normally be there.
Yeah. So it leads to me walking the circumference of the store to find somebody, hey, can you unlock this case for me?
What were you buying at Target that you needed to get out of a case?
I was buying a Wii U. It was a network thing.
Oh, like an adult.
Yeah, I was like an adult. I was doing the responsible thing. I was going into Target at 8 a.m. Their posted opening time.
You showed up at open.
Yeah, I showed up at open and I walked in so I could buy my Wii U before work like a gentleman.
you took your red hair suited 6'1" frame. Uh-huh. And that you hang a black T-shirt on and you carried that into the Target and bought a Wii U at 8 a.m. in the morning on a what day?
On a Thursday.
On a weekday.
On a weekday.
Yeah.
Why do they post that they're open at 8 o'clock if they're not going to have anybody to serve me?
I don't know. Why did you walk in there like you were unemployed and you fixed people's computers in the basement?
I didn't walk in there like I was unemployed.
For a little side money.
Yeah, just for a little bit of scratch. No, it was 8 a.m. I wanted to have it so I could, you know, play it when I got home from work. I didn't want to have to deal with Target parking lot at 5 p.m.
Oh,
Chris,
okay.
You know?
Yeah. No, I get it. Baby steps, buddy.
Chris, it's an efficient use of time. I was awake and I was like, I'm going to get out the door. It's cool.
You're out there. You shed your space blanket and count it to 120. I get it.
Yep. The doctors tell me it's not real, but I assure them that it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, that is my that's my tales of customer service over the past.
I just avoid people at all cost.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you're the person who makes fun of me for buying stuff on Amazon. So that doesn't square up, I think, unless you've had a very strong change of heart in the recent days.
No, I don't get the... I like a sale, and that's why I don't like Amazon, is because there's no... You know, there's no way to know.
Mm.
You don't know whether you're buying it for cheaper than it's on sale this week or not. I mean, you only know if it's on sale on Amazon.
Right. I mean,
so
that's why
I like the experience of going to the store and, like, seeing the options and choosing, you know, what's on sale and what's not. I like that. I just don't like the people. Mm. So I got these big headphones, and I wear them.
Yeah, I feel like a dick when I do that though.
There's nothing on. Like calling my people away. We haven't been over this.
Yeah, I believe we have. Our various maneuvers to not have to talk to people are well known. However, I feel like a dick because I am listening to stuff, and I do the move when a customer service person approaches me, where I click the remote on my on my right ear, you know, and then I pull it out and I let it dangle as I speak to them while it stays in the left ear. So that they can tell in no uncertain terms, because of the flags I'm flying, that I'm only giving them half of my attention.
Okay.
Yeah, but you don't listen to anything. You don't give yourself the podcast to listen to while you're going grocery shopping.
No, it gives me a choice.
Okay.
I can acknowledge. I can not acknowledge. I can make eye contact.
You can eavesdrop. You can lure people into a sense of false security.
Fake a seizure.
you can walk into a corner and put one finger to the earphone and mumble to yourself and make people think that there's some kind of op happening.
You've witnessed a happening.
Red team go. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Coley, I got my first article here. It is one of the ones that just lets you down when you read it.
Oh, is it a fake out?
So the content of the article really doesn't matter, but the title is something I want to talk about.
Yeah, you're doing something that I tend to do, which is actually it's the story isn't the story, it's how the story is presented.
See, I don't do that very often.
I know.
But this one got me. Alzheimer's drug shows startling promise.
Okay, startling promise. Like I swear I'm gonna stop drinking or what?
Like the person takes the pill and they're like, "Fuck, I know where I am." Like, how scary would that be?
if you
were like, trapped inside this Alzheimer's brain for years, and then you take this pill and suddenly, you know,
oh God, it's all coming together.
Yeah, exactly. And suddenly everything's like Pleasantville, you know?
Yeah, the sun rises over the distant ridge and just burns all the fog away.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, and all that's left is the ruin of your life.
You have to recognize your relatives again?
Yeah, like you have to... You can't hide behind it for the casual racism you drop into conversations.
How did I pick these people and when and why?
Oh, God. What have I done? Other people have to deal with these people, and I could have stopped this years ago.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I think that there are a lot of us in our day to day lives who try and avoid that kind of clarity. So to have it all dropped on you, you know, after you've earned that, then, you know, I think that that is a little bit of, which isn't to make light of Alzheimer's or whatever. However, you know, there is a certain comforting blanket of dementia, even though I'm more scared of dementia than anything in the world.
We need to make a strain of medical marijuana called Clarity.
But it's spelled K-L-A-I-R-I-D-Y.
Clarity.
Clarity. Yep, Clarity. You know, it is. You know, it is a light sativa that gets up under you and then just lifts you up like a warm thermal lifting some kind of hawk or falcon over the abyss.
It kind of, yeah. I mean, it's like a sativa fur coat with indica hand warmers in the pockets.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a sweater made entirely of the sticky purple hairs.
Basically,
with
yeah.
a necklace made of the THC crystals.
Yeah, I mean, it's an umbrella of chill vibes with uplifting pantaloons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is a still warm 20-piece nug.
You want to get high?
No, I want some clarity.
I want some clarity.
A sonic branding. That is so important these days. So whenever somebody says, "Oh, I'll take a lid of clarity," is that a denomination, Chris? A lid?
I don't think they use lids anymore.
Yeah, okay, cool. So I'll take a lid of clarity, and then you just hear a boom, 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 boom. Yeah, and then it displays, and then people know. And then like at the end, there's like a little bird that goes tweet, tweet, tweet. Yeah.
I can't wait till they can advertise for that on TV. First off, I don't do drugs, so that should be known if you don't know it already. But there's like a dripping faucet. And then the dripping stops. Camera pans out, and it's the water was filling a bong. Clarity.
Oh man, like close-up shot on a concerned woman's face. You know, we hear the sound of kids playing, pulls out just a little bit more. We see her, you know, pushing her child on a swing, right? Pushing him further, you know, further away. 1, 2, 3 swings. The kid goes out of frame. When it comes back, the swing is empty. Then she looks straight into the camera and we hear bom wah 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 clarity.
That's great.
Yep.
All right, a kid packs a giant vaporizer. Okay. I'm talking about like a 6-foot-tall vaporizer. Okay,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you have to have a stepladder to use, like you're reaching for the high shelves.
Yeah. At the left of the screen, he's packing this vaporizer. He turns around after he gets done, and he walks across to the right. He passes a coffee table and sits down in a very, very low IKEA-style chair. Okay, it's a black chair, and he puts his sunglasses on, and all of a sudden, the smoke just blows at him at like 100 miles an hour. Clarity.
There's a sad man, balding. It's black and white. He's sitting in his apartment. We see the light going through the closed blinds, creating a ladder pattern across his face and up the wall behind him. He is sadly writing a note, and he's just kind of solemnly looks down, and then we're in profile. He picks up a pistol, puts it in his mouth, and then it intercuts between him and a bong until it finally ends with him and a bong, and he does a tasty rip. Bom, wom, wom, wom. Clarity.
There's a clown on a swing set.
Back to the swings, okay.
Swinging higher and higher, swinging higher and higher until he goes up and around. When the swing comes back down and around, he's in a suit. His face paint's gone. He stands up straight and straightens his tie and walks away. Wom, 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 wom. Clarity.
Yep. Oh, there's an old man. It's in the middle of a desert. He's standing by a well, and he is turning a crank. We focus up on the crank a little while. It is rickety. We see that the rope is in near tatters, and the camera, you know, cuts. And it's not cut. It's more of like a gentle pan away from him down to the bucket as it rises out, and it's got an armadillo in it. Armadillo, the back opens up like it's a turtle a little bit, and inside is a rap CD. Inside the rap CD, bom, wom, 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 clarity.
There's a young man digging a hole to build a well.
It's the prequel.
Painstakingly laying each brick by brick, he nails the last shingle onto the shelter that's over top of the well. The camera pans behind him, and a long shot down, we see the reflection of the young man's face as an old man. Wah, 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 wah. Clarity.
I think this could be the rest of the episode.
And the best part about it is there are no cuts there.
Right. Well, it's like Birdman, you know?
Didn't focus group that shit. That's free flow.
Yep.
For better or worse. Probably worse, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, we killed a little bit of time. Clarity. Man, I like it when we get a title that early on. That is that makes me have to stop worrying about listening.
Wow. I snorted.
Yes, you did. Yeah, so clarity. I think that we're ready for this. I think that the world, you know, with the way legislation is happening, we're going to have to get in front of this designer pot game. And I'm not a drug person either, but I'm not against making a little bit of profit. You know, it's fine business making the world gonna go round.
Did you stutter?
did you just throw a bottle at a wall?
Yeah, I threw it at my bottle wall.
Okay, yeah. Chris, I think you need to figure out what you're doing with your house.
It's like an indoor shooting range. The metal's arched so that it rolls down and breaks into a chamber.
Okay, cool. Yep. Yeah, it's like at a bar.
Yeah. For my confidence walks.
We used to do that. We used to do that on Victor Street, kind of contributing a little bit to the noise. Okay, Victor Street was the street I lived on when I was in school, and in the shitty fire trap neighborhood right by UC. But we would late at night after we had drank our 40s and our liquor, we would be on the front porch And we would decide to smash bottles apart, you know, just apropos of nothing, because we felt like destroying something to feel alive, until we realized it was probably a better idea to break them apart inside of a trash can, so that our porch wasn't littered with broken glass.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you know, innovation, right?
Well, you learned.
Yeah.
That's what school's about.
We put it together. So, I mean, I'm going to rewind us here just a little bit. What was the shocking surprise?
That it worked.
Oh, like that it actually improved. Okay, that's
good. Yeah, exactly. Like, but the shocking surprise, I was just first-personing that.
Okay.
Old man. Wah, 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 wah.
Old man reading FoxNews.com.
Right.
Yeah, which is still a place I go to get stories. I normally don't.
Why don't I own gold?
I go there to get stories because they often present things in the most hyperbolic way. So I get a lot of those fake outs.
Yeah, I don't go there anymore.
Yeah.
I used to, and I don't.
Yeah.
I don't do it.
Oh, well. Let's see here. I've got a story for you, too. You know, just while we're here speaking about matters medical, both marijuana and otherwise. Study out of South Korea indicates that most patients, 75% of patients and 84% of families are perfectly willing and excited to tell their healthcare practitioners to wash their hands.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So like, doctor wheels in, you can tell he just got finished eating a meatball sub and he's ready to start, you know, fingering your wound. And you say, hey, doc, do you mind like putting on a glove or something? Also, where are your scrubs? Did you just walk in off the street?
Well, you're wrong if you have a crippled doctor.
What?
You said the doctor rolls in.
I mean, it's inspirational. Do you know how many med schools have ramps? Very few, and none of the good ones.
No, I mean, they don't have surgical tables that lower. So I've seen all of MASH.
You've seen, like, recently? Did you run the series?
Well, the first 5 seasons.
Okay, is that all that's on there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't checked.
Did you see A Different World on the Netflix history?
Yes, I did.
Okay, yeah, that was Emma too.
Wait, wasn't A Different World that old soap opera that was a little bit like Supernatural?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, A Different World was the Cosby spinoff.
Oh yeah, A Different World, like that filmed in the same studio that I worked in, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's the thing. When I worked on As the World Turns, we filmed it.
Oh, God. When I was in television.
When I carried 100-pound boxes of scripts up and down 4 flights of stairs every single day. Yeah, I was in television. I was adjacent to television. I was adjacent to dying television. But that studio that I worked in was where they used to film the Cosby Show. Okay. And then the whole studio was dedicated to that. And then they cut it in half for Another World. And then it became a place for producing New York-based soap operas, which is, you know, when I was there, the last year that it was open before they, I think, turned it into a wig warehouse. I'm not really sure.
But Shinehart Wig Company.
Yes. So I worked, the production office for As the World Turns was in Bill Cosby's old dressing room. Yeah. So I thought at the time, like, oh, that's like a little, that's a cool piece of like trivia. I'm, you know, walking around. Oh, man, well, I wonder where he kept his sweaters.
You've been on the beaches of Normandy when it comes to rape.
Yep. Yes, I have.
And good
now,
God.
And now all I can wonder is, where did he keep the non-disclosure agreements? Where did he keep the hush money? It's very upsetting, actually, in hindsight. I don't believe in haunting.
I'm going to need to put this NDA inside you.
Yeah. Ugh, stuff for like an envelope. Yeah, that's terrible. Terrible. I don't believe in haunting, but I do kind of have a sense that like if something terrible happened in a place, that can kind of stick around, not like in a spiritual way, but just in, you know, just in general. I think that a room can be stained, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And boy, oh boy, I didn't feel it at the time, but in hindsight.
Ugh. Now you know.
Now I know. But it's kind of weird that we don't use the profiles at this point. Like, I should just make you a profile for you and Emma so you don't. But I think that I enjoy seeing what you guys watch.
Yeah, I enjoy seeing that there's never anything new from you.
That's pretty great, right?
I'm always looking for something to be on the recently watched that I haven't watched. And there never is.
Chris, you know me. I cycle through the same six shows.
But they're the same six shows I watch.
I know, right?
Sad.
I know, right? But where it runs into a problem, I'm on a 30 watch. Yeah, a 30 Rock rewatch right now because we watched a bunch the last time you were in town.
I wonder why I was jumping all over the place.
Yeah, me too. So I'm like, I'm trucking my way through season two, and it's going to season six, season seven. I don't want to tell you to stop watching 30 Rock because it's a funny show, and I know that your niece, you know, who I tolerate, enjoys it as well. So I'm not going to say, like, hey, stop doing this. But if I had to start making a marker of where I left, and that is that's a little bit of a problem for me.
Huh.
Yeah. But
well,
anyway,
just let me know.
washing your hands. So even though 84% of families and 75% of patients are fine saying, hey, doc, I really don't want staph infection today, please. Please, can you help me? Only 26 to 31% of doctors support this, right? So much, much lower, which makes sense because most people don't enjoy being told what to do or being caught out on their bullshit, right? But the thing is, when asked to like cite a reason why they disagree with it, they're concerned about negative effects on relationship with patients, which is like, you caught me. Now I need to like step into the trash can because now I'm a garbage doctor. You're not going to listen to me anymore because you had to correct me.
They should know better.
Yeah. Who do you think it's sick more, doctors or school teachers?
I would say
school teachers.
I would too, because I'm working in a school now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been hit yet? It's like cold.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah,
cold season.
Hard.
Oh yeah,
and
you're right.
I
you
get
got sick
itchy
the same time.
Every
I did.
Time a kid touches me or tries to give me or gives me a hug or gives me a high five, mm-hmm. the guy hand sanitized and I get itchy and like I just know that they're giving me bugs and worms and yeah.
Yeah. They're giving you residue off of the slingshot they keep in their back and their back pocket.
I feel like a plague doctor every day.
You should wear a plague doctor mask. That might help keep them in line. You've seen those, right? You know what a plague doctor mask looks like.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you look like a spooky raven skeleton. It's great.
No, I'm sorry. I can't articulate what I'm thinking.
Okay, cool.
I don't think it makes sense.
No, it probably doesn't.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. Don't worry. Here's the thing. You stopped yourself.
It's a superhero but and the show is called Plague Doctor Who? And I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I think it's just like Doctor Who, except he goes around spreading illness.
And I feel like I read a fortune cookie in German. What?
your mind handed you something you didn't know how to parse.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
It only gave me like a quarter of it and then said, fuck you.
See, I was proud of you for stopping it, but now people have to understand that Plague Doctor Who is a thing that you thought.
No, Plague but, Doctor Who?
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's a question.
Okay. I mean, I was going to say it's a guy who travels throughout time giving people chlamydia, but that's just a pornography that I watched.
We already talked about Cosby.
Oh, God. Why don't you wheel me out another story here?
All right. A new study in Appetite magazine suggests TV cooking shows are actually making viewers fat. The research was done by Cornell University. They surveyed 501 random women between 20 and 35 about their cooking habits, then took height and weight measurements to discover each participant's body mass. What they found is women who watched cooking shows and cooked frequently from scratch, also known as the doers, they weighed an average of 164 pounds. The viewers, women who watched the shows but didn't actually do it, weighed 153. 11 pounds lighter.
So is that a situation where if you follow the instructions, if you actually make the things, if you're not a terrible mom?
Right.
Right. If you go whole hog into, you know, cooking like the Barefoot Contessa or whatever, then you're kind of signing yourself up for let's call it the advanced track.
Yeah. They're saying that social media, Pinterest, food television are making people fat, making women fat specifically.
Yeah.
They're saying restaurant quality meals really shouldn't be eaten every day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you're supposed to eat like fucking beans and rice, like with some like steamed greens every day. Like that's your mainstay stuff, which I say should. I don't do that, but like in terms of what we ought to be doing.
So Pinterest is making fat good mommies.
Yeah, Pinterest is a tool of the patriarchy to help fat good mommies keep each other down.
I guess.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, good mommies with poor body image.
Yes. If they're happy, whatever. Like that's fine. I'm not gonna take it away from them. However, does it make sense? I thought that the whole point of like those shows was that it was unattainable, and then it's like you watch and you think, huh? Well, that's a cool thing to do if you don't have anything else to do.
If I wanted to eat artichoke.
But like, or to think like, huh, artichoke seems achievable, but where the fuck do I buy an artichoke?
I've seen them in stores.
Isn't artichoke just a butter vehicle? Like you peel off a leaf and then you dip it in butter, then you eat just like a tiny little part of the leaf and throw the rest of it away?
I don't know, but I'm sure that Clarity probably, the inventors of Clarity probably wrote a book called The Art of Toke.
The inventors of Clarity. It was made in a military super lab.
It's like replica.
It's like the beginning of The Stand. Like a guy's just sitting at the front gate. He hears an alarm going off, and then just all of a sudden, all of the shutters start going down. Except one small little burst of dank smoke just comes out the front door. He makes a run for it, and then all of a sudden, Clarity spreads across the world.
There's just like this piercing high-pitched frequency, and then you close up with a soldier's face, and he tears his helmet off and scoops dirt into it, and then grows Clarity.
he's running away from the lab, and he trips, and he trips, and he breaks the glass open on the front of his gas mask, like the eye holes, and then like gets in there, and then all of a sudden, just quickly, like he just grows Clarity all over him, like he turns into a plant monster. And a raven comes down and picks up a dank nug and carries it to the next town over, spreading it. Clarity. Bah, wah, 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 wah. Yeah. Man, the world's going to change.
It is changing.
I think that Clarity is about ready to take over. If any of these scenarios that we've run are true, then yes. I think that everybody's going to know the name of this product.
Yeah. I smoked some Clarity and went to a werewolf bat mitzvah.
But everybody was turning into plant monsters.
Yeah.
I think that turning into a plant monsters thing, wasn't that a Cheech and Chong movie? No, they were turning into reptiles. I'm thinking of Cheech and Chong's Nice Dreams.
I never saw that.
Yeah, it was one of those ones that ran at like 2 p.m. on Comedy Central in the summer of like 99.
Oh.
Yeah.
In the Niners.
Yeah, and then back in the Niners, the gay Niners. Yeah, huh? I don't know. I wonder which shows, because like all of the majority of the cooking shows hosted by dudes that I've seen, any of your Gordon Ramsay joints or your Alton Browns. I don't really watch a lot of Anthony Bourdain or whatever, but like they're kind of more like business focused and they're more like science focused, which isn't to like lean into any kind of stereotype, but oftentimes the women cooks are the Paula Deans and the Rachel Rays kind of pushing the rich stuff, whereas like the guy cooks are more likely to like yell at somebody about how to increase their profit margins and have better customer service by having Cole come in there and do the work pro bono.
Right.
Am I wrong? Like, I know that you watch more cooking shows. You watch more cooking shows than I do. I think that you're more exposed.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, it's the guy shows are all about competition, and I think that encompasses the business aspect and the science role. And the women are more. It's all emotional. Like, you're going to make this delicious thing for your family, or you're going to make this thing because you're feeling sad.
Right.
So yeah,
I mean, I would protest if I didn't if I didn't watch enough of those to know that is true.
It's true.
It is. And like, you know, I'm always amazed when I go home because, I'm exposed to a bunch of new television, but like mostly it's the obvious like vanity projects that ended up on. Did you throw another bottle at your bottle wall, Chris?
Yeah. I was thinking about Honey Boo Boo hunting gators.
Yeah.
Because that's the shit you see when you go to our parents.
Yeah. Yep. No, but you'll just go there and see like, oh, the frontier cooking mama, and it's like, oh, it's just somebody who married into a ranch family and now she's telling you how to cook 36 eggs at once.
The art of gravy.
Chris, can you describe what gravy is for me, because I've never been able to figure it out.
Yeah, it's when you take like a fat and you mix flour into it. And then you roux it.
How much you ruin it?
You roux it. You make a roux.
Oh, is that where you boil it away? Like you reduce it until it's or is that roux? Or is that a roux?
I don't know.
Is it a baby kangaroo?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, you're referring to roux. Yeah, I've never been a gravy fan, to be honest with you.
You make a roux Paul.
it's sporty, it's sassy, and it's exactly what it wants.
It wants to be French.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the food science tip anyway, Chris, I'm going to need you to help me, consult with me financially so I can save up, to buy a ticket to Japan for April 1st. Okay.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've never worked at a Burger King. And at this point, you know, I think that I'm overqualified. It's one of those things where a Burger King manager would look at me and say, what's to keep this rising up and coming star from, you know, just kind of like taking up my training budget and then stepping away. I'm pretty sure this guy, this king among men, just wants to smell like a Whopper. But the Japanese, Chris, the Japanese have figured this out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a new cologne called
for your dick.
Yes, it is 100% a clone for your dick. They've engineered it so it'll burn skin off of anything that is not dick skin.
That's a Whopper.
Yeah, that is a Whopper. What smells like pickles? Have you got a Whopper?
Did I get my dick stuck in the Foreman again?
It's grill lined for her pleasure.
Right.
It's baby back ribbed for her pleasure.
That's like the one thing I've never seen cooked on a Foreman grill. They gotta be St. Louis style.
What is St. Louis style? Is it you take whatever meat it is? So beef St. Louis style is just a cow dick? I'm sorry,
no,
a bull dick?
Ribs. It's a style of ribs.
But... Oh, on a Foreman grill?
Yeah.
So it's just like slightly above room temperature?
Basically.
Yeah. So
$40 for a bottle of Whopper cologne.
Oh yeah, but you know that's a tremendous value. A little bit goes a long way. And what's important is, you know, you don't dab it right on, you spray it and then you walk dick first into the Whopper cloud.
You got to waft it.
Yep. So yes, this is a novelty fragrance being sold for 5,000 yen, which is a steal, Chris. It's a steal. And yeah, it's supposed to smell like the core ingredients of a Whopper.
Why don't we have, Cole, you know, spray butter,
that stuff that never goes bad.
Do you have to constantly judge just yes or no?
Yes. I know of spray butter. Yeah. You mean yellow salty water? Okay,
that is not
cool.
A product I would ingest.
I mean, it's fine. I've used it, but like, okay. I'm more a fan of like once I figured out you could get real butter that was like softened with a little bit of canola oil. Like that changed my game. Like,
why don't we have flavor spray? Like, why don't we have Whopper spray you can put on your broccoli?
I don't know. There are pills you can take their pills
for anything.
Yeah, that's the future, man. It's like the Jetsons. Come on. How many times do I have to tell you?
It will turn into dinosaurs in your belly.
Just Chris, we've had this since the 70s. Which, you know, it just bring a little bit of whimsy into your day. You just pop one of those in before you even think about it. You just mix it in with your pill organizer, or you have some, or better yet, you have somebody else do it for you. So that way you think, man, I'm really having trouble just pooping. Like, I'm having trouble passing this. Oh, it's a Triceratops. Sweet.
I'm all stuffed up. I tried to snort a Triceratops.
What if somebody mistook those for sleeping pills?
Can that work?
Yeah. But no, like, I know that there are pills or like little dissolvable things that will make anything you eat taste like candy.
I'm talking about sprays, Cole. Mm-hmm.
Like you're not talking about like messing with body chemistry.
No, I'm just talking about a spray. Like, you can spray a good tasting thing on mm-hmm. something that is either like mildly bad tasting or neutral.
Right.
Oh, because obviously you're not going to mask like, you know, like really cooked cabbage.
Ugh, God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I said,
other than like vinegar.
Yeah. Like, you know, the ways that people have been preparing cooked cabbage for years, you know, to mask the horrible flavor of cooked cabbage.
Basically.
Man, they started doing a Korean day at work.
Kimchi.
Yeah. Kimchi is a great way to make an entire office uninhabitable.
yeah
so that is that, and then they're trying to sneak kimchi into everything. It's very upsetting, very unsettling. I'm grateful to my company for providing lunches and whatever, but that is a biological attack. But no, I see what you're saying. Like, just, you know, mix up some extracts and essences and stuff like that. Slap some herbal essence on that broccoli and you got yourself going. You know, like, what is that? Is that a delightful? Did I just take a sip of Orange Crush? Is this a new summer's day? Like, no, that was some chard. That was some Swiss chard, sprayed with this magical goop. I bought a six pack of Orange Crush, 2 weeks ago, and I had one today. It was really good. It's a sometimes treat.
Again, that's what Cosby said.
I don't understand.
Sprayed with some magical goop. All right, last story.
Okay. All right.
A restroom in an Indiana Walmart has been closed after an employee discovered a working meth lab inside.
I love this story.
The worker got suspicious after seeing a man enter the restroom with a backpack and leave without it.
And leave with a backpack full of meth.
No, he left without the backpack because that shit's tainted.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So were there pictures of this published? Like, so I read the headline and I knew that this was probably going to cross my desk at some point. It would end up on the airwaves of this show. Can you go into like how, like what the scale of their operation was?
No, I don't know that.
Hmm.
Nope. I can't tell you more because a Gannett company owns the Star Press, which is Muncie, Indiana's newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And that news, the Gannett company owns the newspaper that's local here and where I live in Ohio. And I've reached my click limit.
Oh, cool. So if you just give them, you know, $25 a month.
If I give them $30 a month, I can read that article.
Cool. Okay.
Because there's no free news on the internet.
No. There's no way to like just put yourself behind a proxy so that gets around it. Fuck you, news.
Yeah.
I heard a stat today listening to a politics podcast. The average viewer age of Fox News is 72 years old.
So they'll end here soon.
Oh yeah, like they've got like 5 years left. Like as soon as they reach the maximum life expectancy, which is like what, like 73? Like that's when your hand gem starts glowing and the youth police hunt you down, right?
Yeah, maybe in Uganda.
This is America. Yeah.
Oh yeah, 73. Never mind.
Okay, cool. But CNN is only 68, so they're the young whippersnappers coming up with their Wolf's Blitzer.
and their Anderson's Cooper.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, I can't find any pictures
of this.
And their
Dana's Bash.
Is that a person? That sounds like
and
a
the
fake person.
Kuma Amaruju.
Chris, you're just combining syllables at this point.
No, Cole.
It's news.
I'm mashing spaghetti against a shredder.
I don't think he'd appreciate that. He's trying to fight the turtles.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Attention, Walmart shoppers.
Because I know you can make shake and bake at Walmart. Like, I've heard about that as like the doomsday scenario for like run and gun meth operations, is you can get everything you need to make shake and bake at a Walmart.
Yeah, and then go in the bathroom and cook it.
Yeah. You don't cook it. You just like shake it up in the gardening department and then like make a run for it, because they've got lack security there. Who's going to steal some hydrangeas, Chris?
I think I need to go on the dark web.
Yep.
I heard they have a Pinterest site for shake and bake.
Oh, the dark
so
web.
Thin.
Hmm.
Lost my tooth weight.
I was worried about the calcium deficiency, what with losing my teeth and all, but I swallowed them right up. It's good.
Figured out how to lighten my hair.
Yeah, the Lord taketh, the Lord giveth back. Yeah. Hey, Chris, you want me to tell them what they can do?
Please.
Okay. People who are listening to this can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids, iTunes, ratings, reviews, Patreon, all of that you can find at duckfeed.tv. I don't want to belabor that right now. I want to remind anybody who's listening that there is a Teespring campaign happening for the network right now, where if you are a Bonfireside Chat fan, we're running two t-shirts up against each other, one of which is for the Traps Snakes 2016 presidential campaign, and the other one is for Turtles Pillars. You can find that by going to duckfeed.tv/shirts and pre-ordering your shirt there in order to show your support for one of those or the other. Chris, I'm sorry to use this show to promote something for another show, but I want to make sure that people buy these shirts.
You got a lot of them.
Shirts? We've got three up there right now.
You got two apartments for the next month.
Not yet.
Just to house all those t-shirts.
Yeah. I bought an annex for this apartment. No, it's good. The people pre-order them, and then this company ships them out. It's great.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's about it, other than just telling friends and, you know, doing what you're doing. Thank you, everybody.
Sorry, America.
Sorry, America.